In honor of Women's History Month, we turn now to the history of women outdoors in America. During the 19th century, the ability to spend time in nature helped free some girls from restrictive social norms and turn them into pioneers. Abolitionist Harriet Tubman, novelist Louisa May Alcott, Native American writer Citlali Shaw, and farm workers' champion Dolores Huerta all shared a connection to the natural world in their girlhoods. For more on these trailblazers, we turn to historian Taya Miles. In her book, Wild Girls, How the Outdoors Shaped the Women Who Challenged the Nation, she reveals how playing and working outside as girls prepared them to lead the way towards gender equality, abolition, and more. Taya joined me, and I asked her to start our conversation by reading a passage from her introduction.
From the micro scale of a single tree to the macro scale of the forest, spaces in nature have been meaningful to the visionary lives of American girls. Girl outsiders became trailblazers in their communities and in American culture writ large. Time in the outdoors ignited girls' critical awareness, fed their self-knowledge, charged their imaginations, built their capacity for resilience, and bestowed moments of inner peace that steadied their spirits in tumultuous times. The stories pressed into this book, like wildflower petals, will show how time spent outside shaped the character of girls who later changed the country.
Thank you. Please talk to me about the complicated social context in which these wild girls grew up in amongst the outdoors.
Well, most of the book is describing experiences that take place in the 19th century. And this was a period of extreme restriction, constriction, oppression for many different populations of girls living on these lands. It was a period, as we know, of enslavement. It was a time when boarding schools, organized and funded by the federal governments, were created to compel Native American, quote, education. It was a time when girls of any class and any background were expected to know their place, in a sense, when it came to gendered organizations of society. So girls were supposed to be quiet, still, pure, virtuous, and obedient, really across the board in the context of American civilization.
A moment in history that you point to is that of the Leonid meteor shower that took place in 1833, where thousands of meteors were seen across North America. Harriet Tubman observed that event. Can you tell us more about Harriet, her story, and what she witnessed that day?
Harriet Tubman was enslaved in the U.S. South. Tubman was born in Maryland, probably in the early to mid 1820s. And she grew up in the direst of circumstances. She was constantly being separated from the mother she loved, from her siblings and her father, because the man who owned her mother and her mother's children, including Harriet Tubman, would lease them out to bring in income. So Tubman was often, as a very young girl, separated from her family, alone, desperate, afraid. And as she got to become a little older, and a little bolder, in part because of her experience outside, Tubman learned how to run away from the people who were leasing or renting her and to find her mother, who was on another farm or another plantation.
Tremendous bravery.
I know. It's incredible. And so much courage. And one of these nights when Tubman ran away just briefly, temporarily, to visit her mother, she was there with her brother, and they were inside the cabin where her mother lived. And her brother would stand outside at the door of the cabin to watch for the patrollers. And these are people who would basically police the roads to look for enslaved people who might be out of their so-called rightful places without permission. And they would return these enslaved people, and they could exact terrible punishments. So Harriet Tubman, as a girl, probably around the age of a tween, so a preteen, was with her mother visiting, and her brother was standing guard by the door, and her brother all of a sudden shouted, "Come out, come out, and look at the stars." And Harriet Tubman, who at that time was known by the nickname of Minty, came outside and joined her brother, and she looked up, and she saw what she later described as just an uncountable number of stars that were shooting across the sky. Harriet Tubman later said that she thought that moment could have been Judgment Day because it was so incredible, so miraculous to see what looked like, you know, millions, billions, zillions of stars just raining down onto the earth. Well, Tubman wasn't the only enslaved girl to witness this sight. Many other enslaved girls and boys and children saw this and remembered the story of what they often described as the night the stars fell. And in Harriet Tubman's world, in the world of enslaved girls and enslaved people, this shower seemed to carry a message. And the message was that God could possibly pass judgment on the people who were mistreating others on the earth. God could possibly pass judgment on enslavers because God could bring the sky down in a shower of stars.
How did Harriet Tubman's experience outside help her gain the tools she needed to lead people to freedom?
Spending time in nature gave Harriet Tubman psychological tools as well as practical tools for the freedom fighter that she would become. She talked about how she was a neglected weed as a child, and these are her words. This is something that really caught my attention when I was thinking about how to interpret her life story, because it tells us that Tubman was an observer of nature. She was someone who thought through nature, thought about herself through the language of nature. And it also tells us that Tubman recognized the way in which she was being mistreated as a child. And she also associated herself with a kind of living thing that is incredibly tough and resilient. Tubman was a very religious woman. She believed that God was against slavery. And at the same time, she felt that it may have been ordained by God that she was placed outside during her teenage years to learn how to navigate the woods. And learn she did. She learned what grew in the woods. She learned how the waters flowed in the woods. She learned how to read the sky in the woods. She learned about the different animals that would be with her in the woods. And when she made her escape, which would be her final escape from slavery as a young woman, she applied all of those skills. For a decade of her life following that, she helped other people in the very same way, moving through those woods that she had become a companion of.
And you also profile the famous author, Louisa May Alcott, as one of these wild girls. How did Louisa's connection to nature inspire her literary work?
Well, Louisa May Alcott is an historical figure who I never really expected to research and write about, Paloma. I mean, she's somebody whose work I had read when I was a teenager. I read Little Women, you know, I think probably in high school or around that time. And I vaguely recall enjoying the novel, but I had never thought that I would return to her. I worked on this book during the height of the COVID-19 pandemic, and there was one particular weekend when my kids and I were just feeling stir crazy in the house. We needed to get out, and for some reason, it popped into my head, let's go to Louisa May Alcott's Orchard House. This is a historic site in Concord, Massachusetts, not very far from where we live. And as I was at her home and reading about her, it sort of clicked that she would have been walking these hills. She would have been planting in this garden. She would have been looking out at a landscape where not too far away, there was the very famous Walden Pond. And so I thought, let me just look into this. And it turns out Louisa May Alcott was a perfect figure to include in this book. I really did not know that before Paloma. I had no idea the extent to which her connection to the outdoors, her sort of psychological and emotional connection, was born out in her own childhood and the things she loved to do and the way she perceived herself. And not just in the novel Little Women, where we see it all over the place, in the character Jo March, who is a, quote, tomboy. Well, Louisa May Alcott was also a tomboy, and those are words she used to describe herself. And she was somebody who would say that she didn't want to even play with another kid unless they could climb a tree and unless they liked to play with spiders the way she did. Her favorite reading spot was this old kind of wheelbarrow out in the yard. She loved to go tearing across the fields. She loved to hang out with actually older men, including some of the famous philosophers that we know of from Concord, Ralph Waldo Emerson, Henry David Thoreau. Louisa May Alcott, I learned through my research, had a really interesting way of thinking about herself. She wrote that she felt much more like a boy or a wild deer or a horse than a girl. She felt like one of these beings, these other kinds of beings, who could be outside, could run outside, could live outside, could express themselves in these kind of big, dramatic, adventurous movements, all of which was supposed to be off limits for girls. I mean, there's this really interesting detail that I have to slip in here.
Please do.
Alcott says that when she was a girl, her mother actually tied her to the sofa to try to keep her in the house. I mean, that is, I think, the perfect symbolic image for the expectations of certain girls, especially middle-class Euro-American girls living in New England at this time, that they were supposed to be in the parlor, behaving properly, being dainty, being quiet, being pretty, being seen and not heard. But that was not who Louisa May Alcott was. She refused to be that girl. And actually, when her family moved to the country, which was Concord, her mother just seems to have given in, maybe, given up, perhaps actually recognized and embraced the kind of kid she had. And she said to Louisa May Alcott, go, run. And she allowed Louisa to explore the outdoors.
Talk to me about how the multiracial spaces near Boston and Walden Pond, how did that help shape Louisa May Alcott, her writing and her spirit?
Louisa May Alcott was an unusual kid. She was an unusual girl for her family, for her society, and for her time. And one time when she was doing her walkabouts, she fell into Frog Pond, and she was actually in great danger in this moment. She might have drowned. Alcott reports that it was a black boy who saved her. It was a black boy who jumped in and helped her to get out of Frog Pond. And she says from that moment, she became an abolitionist. One of the things that we see through Alcott's story and also the other stories that I tell in the book is outdoor spaces seem to make a way for people of different racial categorizations, different sex and gender categorizations, different class categorizations to come together because they are not as heavily separated and segregated and surveilled and policed as some of these interior spaces. So Alcott might not have come across a black boy who had that kind of freedom of movement in the townhomes and country homes of her family. But outside of the park, she did encounter him. And that encounter changed her life in more than one way. It may have actually saved her life, and it certainly began a transformation in her thinking.
Taya, what do you hope readers take away from your book and these stories?
I have heard from a number of readers, a number of women readers, that the most meaningful thing to them about this book is that it reminded them of their girlhoods. It reminded them of who they were when they loved to be outside, when they loved to run through the woods to explore their neighborhoods. And it has reminded them that they want to be those same people. They want to kind of embrace those girlhood adventures again. I mean, I so appreciated hearing that. And I will add to that hope that people take away a sense of inspiration about their own lives, that I really do wish that people would see the examples in this book as models for what it is we can do to take care of the earth, to take care of these spaces in nature, and also to ensure that everyone has equal access to them.
Tayo Miles is a professor of history at Harvard and author of Wild Girls, How the Outdoors Shaped the Woman Who Challenged the Nation. Tayo, thank you for joining us.
I enjoyed it so much. Thanks, Paloma.